Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way, consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness with God's servant, Pastor Emeka Eguchukwu.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You're welcome this morning by God's grace. Thank God for His mercy and His love towards us. Thank God for opportunity to gather again this morning. The Lord has been gracious to us. All right, let's go. Season of the Spirit. God has been blessing us. How many of us are excited to be in Season of the Spirit? I'll just give a short charge in preparation for our daddy, Reverend Busi. Amen. Can we pray? Father, we thank you. Matesi, Faruteka, Hipanata, Selivro, Katelivan, Hate Kenevelan, Elivan, Tosivele, Gradegades, Teloprate, Ki, Prectocoprate, Kate, Liberton, Liberton, Tesife, Kotoli, Evretan, Lekteki so supere de indoro do bosisi fecatal etemenaka so sive tendi prakteke tule vregedi adostenavani antohi prakteki susule ifemino kotafa ektekedi eletoto sifenoma man tekedi toto freketuna man esi de baraktekedi eletona Meteni esiso pito levreni anto ligete tani anto lefete isi matakali isi oto lobraket isi mateketa nedoto si prektito nobre niatenate si badotone hit e prektito no hota pasi fetole biana to la vena oteke di anastole vrak deketi lavrane hetolo to siva. Oh, televela hatolone sisi farotopore dehi de vrani hotole telefito non proste. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oof. Oh, for she was son of a Sushimaho, Sorunotus, Safostin, Sanais. Oh, Shobre for Simaratoses, Sotoko, Precaste, Pretesiva, Satleste, Pretesiva, Costian, Stenta, Pretesinen. I Christ you, Fresto, Pretesiva, Stentro, Castia, Pretes, Testicus, and Pretesin, Zenatin, Zocrenesin. Alvretin, Osios, the Fresicest, and Prostec, Liriacast, and Fretesane, Beantest, and Tristan Sea. Maretoca, Preacast, Yosten, Frecosta, Precast, the Frestest, and Sensin, Sensi. I pray. Etia co frestic le preteste praticus totrente vescest in sensi, elescius ten prescias cio vendra tasse campias de creste besi, aeles trecos tia crestios ten precadesticus in sen fracasti, e assesti passias de sia sensia 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 sentin, e si astisia sensia sensisia sensia sensisia sensio sensin. Aias Dios ensete na bastiena sensiesi assisi ansensi assisi ansen. Ele sios Dios sisi ascendin sasti ascensi ascendin. Ai chiote prete fosti caesi ascensa sti ascendin ataisti assi ascendin. Ai isio plesti ora pia sensti assi ascendin. Ios ti assessi ascendin assi ascendin sios ti ascendin. Esi sio te sessi sees you speak you up. He sees you to speak you up. He sees you to speak you up. And he has to speak up, speak you up. He has to speak you up. He has to speak you up. He has to prove that he's staying upon you to speak you up. To speak you up. To speak you up. Even to speak up. Speak you up. Ascend you up. To assist you on your up. To speak you up. He has to leave Lancron. He's staying on a cease to speak you up. He's to cease to speak, you up. Sisantio Sisti to speak you up. 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 To speak a call you up. To speak you up. He is to speak you up. He is to sound just to speak you up. He has to steam prenios to speak you up. Legre Piove and Yoga distinctly predius to speak you up. Iviotas to assemblios to speak you up. The Astad assembly does to speak you up. To consist all your assembly to speak you up. You brak Yova no ridos, Liovana canio de Sontre canian. We had to speak you up. He had to speak you up. He had to speak you up. He had to call you up. He had to back you up. To bring you up. To bring you up. To call you up. To speak you up. To cause you to ascend by speaking. For you see, words are coming from a height. Words are from a height higher than you are at this moment, higher than you are at this moment. To speak you up to this height, to call you up as an assembly to this height, to call you up as an assembly to this height. For there's where you ought to stand. There's where you ought to stand. There's where you ought to stand that you may see. There's where you ought to stand that you may see. There's where you ought to stand that you may see. Even that which is called upon you in this season, that which is to come upon you in this season. But we need to speak you up. We need to speak you up. We need to call you up, even to stand upon this height, even to see that which is supposed to be departed, even to cause departed imparted upon you. You need to see what's to be imparted upon you. For as far as your eyes can see is what you are to receive. We want you to see up. We want you to see up. So we will speak you up. I am here to speak you up. Here to speak you up. To speak you up. To cause you to ascend even to the heights of this mountain, that you may see even the portion that is yours as an assembly, even in this land of the living, even in this land of everlasting. There is your portion in the land called everlasting, and you need to see it, but you need to be spoken up. You need to be spoken up. You need to be called up. So I'm going to speak you up. I am going to speak you up. I'm going to speak even my servants, that they may speak you up. I'm going to speak to my servant to speak you up, to speak you to this height, to see this portion and to receive this portion. So it says the Spirit of God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So krepa fere no tosi kale prato steva nagaya da zinia seno tabla gian asastio na masintra nagadian. E posia kradia kodo se prake dia sto kavas entrosa vlia maleta ne gadesia nagena. For you see, even according to the times and seasons over you as an assembly, there is a season over you. There is a season over you. Yes, there is a season over you. For you see, even this celebration of the season of the Spirit, even in your midst, coincides with a particular season over you, and it is a season that has led to an open door. There's a door open over you, even according to the times and seasons over you as an assembly. Therefore have I anointed even my servant, therefore have I called even my servant to come, that he may declare even even that door over you. He will declare the door. For the door needs to be declared, that you may see it and push into it, even as an assembly. I also hear there is also even individual work. He put in a plus individual portions. Individual portions. Individual portions. I see tongues of fire. Individual tongues of fire. Individual tongues of fire upon every head. And the congregation of the tongues of fire will lead to a collective open door. For you see an open door for assembly. It can pull off Fina Brantigani Krodisia ni Kamblo to Marania Tasia. It is a congregation of individual open doors. Individual open doors. And their individual tongues, even keys, tongues, keys. For you, tongues are words, words are keys, tongues are words, words are keys, speakings, individual speakings that will speak you even to your portion, even to your portion, that us all assembly will come to this portion. Anointed, even to declare this open door over you, to declare this open door to you, that you may press in, that you may press in. Yeah, I will bring you through the door. I will bring you through the door. By the speakings over you, I will bring you through the door. For no one can come except I draw. I will draw you up. I will draw you up. Yeah, I will bring you up through my speakings over you. I will bring to you tongues, even entrances, even individual entrances. Entrances for everyone. I hear portions. I hear portions for all. Portions for all. Even in this land of the living. Portions for all. Portions for all. Take your portion. Take your portion. Take your portion. Come up to your portion. Take your portion. Occupy your portion. Take your portion. Take your portion, says the Spirit of God.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So, Jesus said something that's in John chapter 14, precisely chapter 14. He made a statement, very striking statement. You know, these are, I'll call it divine dialogue. These are not just Jesus' teaching is such that in his teaching, what he's actually doing is that he's bringing in what I'll call divine dialogue, meaning conversation of divine. There is no word of him that is just a sentence. Every word of him, every word that comes out of his mouth is spirit and life. Spirit and life of God. So there is no word of him that is a sentence, meaning it is pregnant with things. Which, just that thing you call a sentence, you may never be able to fully unravel it. It will be difficult to completely unravel it. And so we are all his words. Now in John chapter 14, he said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." Now Philip was the one that asked, "Show us the Father, and it will suffice us." And he said, "Have I been so long with you and you've not known me? Don't you know that he that has seen me has seen the Father? Anyone who has seen me..." Now, they were seeing him. Why aren't they seeing him? So how come they didn't see the Father? Because that seeing is not the physical seeing. That seeing is not just... There is a physical seeing, but even beyond that, there is a seeing also that they had of him, meaning what they perceive of him. What they perceived of him was also what they saw of him, or what they were seeing him. Like you can see Jesus of Nazareth. That is what you're seeing. And that is what you will be limited with. You can see Jesus the Christ. That is also a seeing. But there is a seeing that is the seeing of the Father. Is the revelation of the Father. Is the making men to see the Father. Now that was with him. And he was doing it But it was very difficult because their sight, I want you to understand, their sight was not just low, was defined by a whole lot of things that they, maybe their expectations. Like your expectation can limit your sight. Your expectation, what you expect from him, can limit how you see him. And he can do exceeding, abundantly, above what you can ever ask or see. That thing can see. He can do exceeding, abundantly. So, in other words, he has many things to show. At the point he told them in chapter 6, there are many things I have to say to you, but you can't bear them. Meaning you don't have sight for it right now. So I can't even say it. If I say it, you can't take it because you don't have developed sight for to see. So here I was talking about, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Means it's a particular kind of seeing that is being spoken of here. Is a particular kind of seeing. I want to beg us, don't let your expectation limit your sight. Don't let your past limit your sight. Don't even let your experience. Because you may have experienced the Lord in a particular way. Now, it is always like that. If I had time, I would have told us some stories like that. It also happened to me. Because you've experienced him in a measure, it can limit your sight, meaning it can limit you from receiving further. Because there is so much. There is still so much to be unveiled. So I can begin to say this, that the essence of the Son, the essence of the Son of God, is to glorify the Father. That's the essence. The whole thing about the Son of God is that the Father, now check it through the scriptures, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. Always the Father might be glorified in the Son. The Father might be, the word glorify is actually the word magnify. The same word with magnify. To magnify is to reveal, to make known. To make known. So in other words, when God is made known, God is glorified. So when you say, I want to, Father, I glorify you. I glorify you. I want you to be glorified. No, you have to make him known. And for him to be made known, he has to be made known in a vessel. He has to be made known true. So like I said, to glorify him means to magnify. You know when you use a magnifying glass, it makes it bigger. You are able to see. You see clearer details that you may not have been able to see with your naked eyes. You'll be able to see it clearer when you use a magnifying glass. Magnifying glass is a revealing glass. So it's a revelation. So to glorify, to magnify, is to reveal. So you can say that the essence of the Son, we hear the Son of God. The Son of God. The essence of the Son of God is to reveal the Father. The whole thing about the Son of God, of course you understand, he was not the Son prior to that time. You understand what I mean? He was Logos. But when there came a need for the Father to be revealed, he had to, we now have to have a Son. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. You have to have a Son for the Father to be revealed. Now, one will say this. Let me use this example. Yesterday, we went for a wedding, and then my boy, my son, Joel, was there. And daddy was with me, you know, and some other pastors. And, you know, when Joel came to greet daddy, daddy just looked at him and said, you're beginning to look like your dad. You know? Now, does he really look like me like that? Now, but truly, if you get my picture, when I was at his age, we look alike. I've checked it. When he was small, I took a picture of mine. I looked at it, and the picture of when I was small, and the picture of when he was small, we look alike. So at every stage, there is that. Now, you did not know me when I was that age. You didn't know what I looked like from the beginning. You're only seeing what I look like now. But somebody has that revelation. Somebody has that revelation. And so as he's growing, he is revealing. As he's maturing, he's revealing. By the time he gets to my age, he will almost look like me. He will keep on revealing. Now, let me go further. There are also some things that are in me that is not yet made manifest and may never be made manifest because the conditions for that is not there. But such things you can see being made manifest in the nest. You understand what I'm talking about? In gene, you have what we call recessive gene and dominant gene. Those recessive genes are genes that are there. It's not as if they are not there. They are there, but they are not magnified. They are there, but they are not revealed yet. Then you now wait for a time when someone who will receive that ability to unveil that particular gene. That's revelation. So you can see what we are actually learning, we are seeing it, but we don't understand it. It's happening. And you know, every day you're looking at your child, like Pastor Leke, you know, the pea baby. When you're looking at him, the way he's walking, the way he's doing everything. When I'm seeing them, I'm seeing Leke. I'm sure Leke, mommy Leke looked like that. Now, it is true in the natural, but much more in the spirit. God was just using the natural to show us the things that are in the spirit. What do I mean by that? The essence of the sun. There wouldn't have been a need for sun if there was no need for unveiling. If there was no need for magnifying, there wouldn't be need for sun. If God had remained in his eternal state without needing to be revealed, there wouldn't have been a need for sun. But thanks be to God for the administration of the sun. For the administration of the sun. So, but the issue is that God from time immemorial has desired to reveal himself. He has been, I want you to see the unique of the revelation of God in the Son. He had desired to reveal himself. He has. All the things he was doing with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you know, and all the patriarchs, it was all to reveal himself. But he couldn't. They couldn't carry that revelation of him. The prophets. Amen. Can we say the prophets? You know, Hebrews said, God who has sundry times and in diverse manners spake to our fathers. What was God speaking to our fathers? God wanted to reveal himself. He was speaking to our fathers. He wanted to reveal himself. So, him speaking to our fathers was him also showing his fatherhood. He also wants to show them that I am a father. But I want to show you that aspect of my father or aspect of fatherhood that I possess, which is very, very high. But in revealing it, none of them could capture it. So God, who in sundry times and in diverse manner, spake to our fathers in diverse manners. So when he was being diverse, he was just trying to reveal something. So he has to pass through this side, pass through the other side, use Abraham, use Isaac, use Jacob, use all the patriarchs. All he was just trying to do was to find a way to push out something, to show forth himself. But, you know, none of them possessed that capacity. The most he could do, you know, with them was through the prophets. So the prophets, we are, you know, prophets we are called son of man. So you need son to reveal. The best they could be was son of man. All of them, son of man. Now, how you know a prophet is actually the level of revelation of God he has. You don't know a prophet just by gifting or being a seer, a foreteller. You don't know. That's not the complete ministry of a prophet. Now, when you begin to measure prophetic anointing, prophetic stature, is sight of God. You know, Balaam was a very terrific prophet. What was it? Because he saw many things? No. He had the knowledge of the Almighty. Balaam was a prophet, a kind of prophet that could contend with Moses. Do you read that place? When Moses was giving thanks, I mean, he was telling the children of Israel, give thanks to God. Now, for other nations, they fought. He could take the army to go and fight. But for Balaam, where will you fight? The guy is a one-man army. When he stays on the mountain, you guys are sleeping. He stays there and will cast a spell. Declare something that will cover the whole nation. One man could cover a whole nation. That man must have something. That man must have something. So Moses knew that this man was not just a small man to take. That this man had the knowledge of the Almighty. So you measure a prophet or the prophetic stature by the sight, not for things, but God. I remember one time, that was some years ago, when there was an issue of prophetic was coming up, you know, in Nigeria, and everybody was, and it's still here, and it's wonderful. I'm not against the prophetic in the way people understand it, the ordinary people understand it. But one day I was just sitting down, while I was just thinking about it, praying about it, trying to understand it, read books, and, you know, wanting to make sure that I actually grasp exactly what God was saying. I just sat down, and some things just downloaded. And the Lord told me, he said, the essence of the prophetic is to see God. That changed my whole perception about the prophetic. Is to see God. He said many people can see many things, and you can see things through many mediums. It doesn't have to be just by the Holy Spirit. You can see things to come. Things that will happen. You can see how the world will end. You can see about tomorrow of people. And you know, that's what people celebrate. But you know, he told me, the reason for the prophetic ministry, the reason for the gift of the prophet, is to decode God, to make men see God. If they are not making men see God, then that prophetic ministry does not align with the New Testament prophets. That's not a prophetic in the New Testament. You know, they are prophets of sight. What I mean, sir, they are prophets of that foretell, but they are prophets of words. What I mean, that foretell, but prophets of miracle. They are prophets of miracle. I don't doubt that. They are prophets of miracle, but they are prophets who never did any miracle but sight. One of them was John the Baptist. What do you go to the wilderness to see? A prophet. More
Meaning his prophetic stature was high. More than a prophet. So what made him more than a prophet was not that he did any miracle. Of course, we know he didn't do any miracle. But he could see God. Meaning he could tell, this is the Son of God. In fact, he had a revelation of him that he could call him the Lamb of God. Israel did not know he was the Lamb of God. The Pharisees did not know he was the Lamb of God. The people who were following him did not know he was the Lamb of God. He had to take a man who had sight to identify and say, behold the Lamb of God. Meaning God has a lamb. Up till then, nobody knew that God has a lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the whole world. And another time he said, behold the Lamb of God. So you can see, like I said, the how you know a prophet is according to their stature. The prophetic stature. Amen. But you know, the good thing about it is that all of these prophets, as wonderful as they are, even John, what he saw was still limited. Meaning God couldn't, there was no consummation of the revelation of the Father in John. God couldn't accomplish it fully in John. So all of them, we are called Son of Man. Son of Man, take up a lamentation. You hear? Son of Man, the burden of the word of the Lord came unto me saying, you know, those were the kind of prophets and those were manners by which God, you know, tried to speak. But to the Son, in Hebrews chapter 1. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 1 briefly. I'm just driving somewhere. I'm stirring us up. I know there is something for us this morning. Something great. Amen. God, who was sundry times and in diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days have spoken unto us. Amen. Can you say, has spoken unto us? How? By his Son. Now, of course, we understand that that place is read by in King James, but is actually in his Son. Has spoken to us in his Son. Has spoken to us in his Son. Sundry times and in diverse manner spake to our fathers through the prophets, but in this last day has spoken to us in the Son. So the speaking of God in the Son is actually the work of God. The essence of revelation is actually for a work to be accomplished. In other words, a revelation is a work. Is a work. So in the Son, I want to put it this way, in the Son, the work was accomplished. Meaning God could download everything about him in the Son. And in the Son, it is not hindered. In the Son, it will not be adulterated. God could download all of his gene, all his divine, eternal gene into the Son for the, and those genes are eternal. Meaning there's no way it could have been seen without the Son showing up. So you cannot begin to understand John, 1 John chapter 5. We know that the Son of God is come. He's come to give us an understanding. He has an understanding. He has a peculiar kind of understanding that is totally different from the understanding that you find with the prophets. Prophets are sons. But sons who are servants. Did you hear what I said? Yeah. They are servants who are sons. Well, they are sons who are servants. Prophets are because our Lord Jesus is a servant of God. Is he not a servant of God? But Moses was a servant in the house. And by being a servant, he's a prophet, so he's a son of man. But he is not the kind of servant that Jesus is. So the best prophets could be is to be servants. And the Bible said in the book of Hebrews, he said, verily Moses was faithful in all his house. Moses was faithful in all his house. In all his house. He was faithful. Now when we say all his house, meaning when you say household, you're talking about a domestic administration or administration of what you call the household is how things are administered in the house. So there was an administration that was given to Moses for to unveil God. And Moses was faithful. But in all of that, he was still a servant in the house. But Jesus, amen, as a son, he's a son who is a servant. He's not a servant who is a son. He's a son who is a servant. A son in his own house. In his own house, meaning with him was all the full administration of God. Not only how God will be revealed or God being magnified in him, but how he will also accomplish the same work in us. How God will be revealed in us is with him. You need to understand that. How God will be revealed in you is with Jesus. He knows how to reveal the Father in every one of us. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. The Son. So the essence of the Son is for to reveal the Father. As a son in his house, I love that. Whose house are we? We are the house. Can you say we are the house? Now when you hear whose house are we, it's not everybody that is yet a house. You know, when we read scriptures, let's read in between the line. You know, we say, whose house are we? We are still housing many things that is not that. So you need to know who are the we? Whose house are we? So you need to know the house. The house is if we. So if you don't, you're not a house. Did you get that? Because you can just take it from there. Whose house? And Jesus was faithful in his house. Whose house are we? And you now claim every one of us, every child of God, you are the house of God. Go to Ephesians, they will tell you better. That is not everybody that is yet a house. We are housing many things. We are housing many things. How we know you are his house is that your house is things. When we check what is inside of you, then we will know whose house you are. We need to check your content, what you're housing, because you house something. When you house something, it's for to make known, to display. You're a house for to display. You know, when I come to your house, I will know the kind of person you are. Am I lying? When I come to your house, how your house is, can tell me. Okay, maybe you might say, okay, a lot of people are living with me and then they can scatter the house. But when I enter your room, because that's really your house, then I'll now know the kind of person you are. Now when I enter the room and I see trouser on the bed, you know, shirt on the floor, shoe under the bed, and all that kind of thing. And it shows something inside is manifesting. So the reason for the house is to show your arrangement on the inside. If you're neat on the inside, it will show in your... So the purpose of house, are you following what I'm saying? The purpose of house is to magnify. I know some people will put, do everything to make sure that their house is they will screed, paint, do all kinds of things, put, go get the best curtains and put, what are they trying to do? Everything they are doing, you're seeing, is from inside. They first of all have conceived it on the inside. So the house is just for to show what is on their inside. So the house is for to reveal. The house is for to reveal their person. So we can tell who you are by, you know, what is your, on your inside, whether you are the house of God. So you can now understand when he said, whose house are we? He's not saying that everybody, as it were, is a house. Whose house are we if we hold? So we need to hold something. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Now he was talking to a church that was deep in the revelation of Christ. He called it the, if you hold the confidence. Now that word confidence is not your confidence. In other words, you see confidence. Okay, the guy is confident. No. Confidence is as a result of substance. Confidence is as a result of substance, meaning as a result of understanding. You've come to hold something. Just the way the deacons will hold the mystery of faith. They will hold it. Now, why do we? It's not only the deacons. Everybody is supposed to hold the mystery of faith. Meaning, when you come to a particular stature, for to be a house, they will give you a mystery. For to be a house, for you to be a house of Christ, they will give you the mystery of Christ. If you can hold it firm and go through the warfare, some will drop that mystery and you will lose being the house. But if you can hold it, he called it the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope of becoming the house. If you can hold it to the end, then you will become the house. So to also be the house of God, you need to hold the mystery of God. You need to hold the mystery of God. And you need to hold it and go through the warfare. I just imagine somebody holding something and everybody is pursuing you. And you know, our enemies are pursuing the world. They just want you to drop that thing because they know if you can hold it firm to the end, that thing you're holding will turn you to another being. You hold it to the end, then you are the house. So what makes a house is actually what is inside. When we say you are the house of God. You know when you see Jesus, Jesus will tell them, say, pull down this temple. That was himself. Pull down this temple and I will do what? 3 days I will. Why will I raise it? I have substances. I will raise it up. I will raise it up. It has substances. You can't pull it down. I will raise it up. Because, you know, you need to understand that what was responsible for resurrection was actually the things that he has already collected. The things he was already housing. So Peter will say, for it was impossible for death. It was impossible. It was impossible for death to hold him. The pangs of death could not restrain him. Why? He was holding some things that are volatile. They are very violent. When he sees death, he reacts. He swallows up death in victory. Things he was housing. You're dealing with the house of God. God wants us to house something. God wants us to be his house. So we see the son as a pattern house. He housed these things. There was something he housed. So when he was housing it, then he could tell them, don't you know that he who has seen me? So to see him is to see the things that are in him, the things that constitute him, to see the substances that he was housing. If you can see it, if you see me, you have seen the Father. Because I'm not housing anything of my own. I'm not housing anything of my own. Everything you see me housing is the Father that actually, the Father was coming into me by substances. So the Father was landing into me. Coming into me. So at the point he said, the Father dwelleth in me. He said, if you can't believe, let's look at it again, verse 10. He said, believest thou not that I am in the Father? Wow, that's powerful. I am in the Father and the Father in me. Those are not poetic words. He's not just trying to be poetic. He's not trying to impress you. It's a reality. It's a reality. You know, our understanding might not be able to. That's why I say many things I have to tell you, but you can't bear them. Our understanding cannot grasp. How can I am in the Father and the Father in me? There's a medium of doing that. I am in the Father and the Father in me. Look at it. Believest thou not that I am. Now, I love the word believest thou not. Meaning they've not seen. That is why they can't believe. They've not seen. Believest thou not. So what they were seeing was informing what they were hoping or what their faith can accommodate. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Meaning, I am not in myself. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. How? You will be in the Father when the Father is in you. That's how he does. That's an initiation. You can't say, I am in the Father, when the Father is not in you. I'll say it again. You can't say, I am in the Father. They will ask, okay, let's check out who is in you. If the Father is not in you, you are not in the Father. So God made it in such a way that as I am coming into you, you are coming into me. Meaning, as I'm coming into you, I am absorbing you. I'm taking you to myself. You see how the Father took Jesus, kept taking Jesus, and kept taking him until he took all of Jesus. And I love the way Peter spoke about in the book of Acts, whom the heavens will withhold. That heaven withholding him is actually the Father. The Father has taking him. And the Father will not release him like that until certain things are accomplished. Certain things has to be accomplished before the Father, because what you are seeing is actually, it belongs to God. So it also means that when a man is like that, God will take you. I'm not saying you will die, because we always understand it wrongly. God will take you. God can take a man and he's here. You will not know him. He has been taken. Meaning it will be difficult to unravel him. You can't see him. But he has been taken. A man can be taken. Can I say this to you? God wants us to be in him. You know, Jesus prayed that where I am, there they may be also. When he said where I am, he was here on earth, but he was somewhere. He was in God already, and God was in him. He was in the Father, and the Father was in him. And he was praying, Father, I pray that these ones will also be with me. And he told them, I'm going to, don't, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to prepare. Believe in the Father. Believe in the Father, and also in me. For in my Father's house, there are many accommodations. So those accommodations, those abodes, can you say abodes? They are not places that are waiting for us when we die and leave here, leave the earth, and we now go to heaven, and then they will show us your mansion. You know, I used to laugh at that. I used to say, there might be some level of competition in heaven, because, you know, if it is like that, it will be because some of us would like to live in GRA in heaven. Some people would like to live in Banana Island in heaven. Amen. And some people would like to live in condo, you know, condo in heaven. And some people would like to live in just a flat. Or some people would like to live in Face Me, I Face You in heaven. Amen. You know, because, you know, there's a way preachings formally has taught us to, you know, see heaven, especially the promises of God. The promise of God is not even heaven. The promise of God is himself. So if we can see him, then we are seeing the promise. But you know, there's a way they've painted heaven as the promise. So everything, the way we arrange here, earth here, is the way we see, we think heaven is arranged. So I should ask, it means that when we get to heaven, maybe there's heaven for Africans, and there's heaven for Europeans, and then maybe there's heaven for Americans. Amen. So when he's talking about abode, he's not talking about house, as in where you will enter. No, abode is in the Father. Every one of us, when you left heaven as a spirit to come down to this earth, God's intention is that you return back. You came down, when you came without a consciousness of where you came from. But you're going to go back with full awareness. You will be known as you are known. God's intention is for you to return. And when you're returning, you're not returning to one house. I'm not talking about you dying. It's actually coming into a realm of awareness, a realm of comprehension, a realm you assess the realm called God. It's a realm, it's an abode, it's a place a soul can ascend to, a soul can come up to and occupy. And I tell you, if a soul can get there, you discover that even your surrounding will begin to show something different. Like I said, people might not know you, but you just, you know, I used to say this, if just being a preacher, and then you have walked with God to a measure, and you carry spirit, or you carry some level of manifestation, when you show up, that thing, maybe you show up in a meeting. I remember the first time that our daddy, Reverend Ezekiel, who has gone to be with the Lord, visited us in Believers Convention. That was Believers Convention at CMS Grammar School. That was the first time. There was no doubt that man carried something. I remember where I was sitting, just the second row, when he walked in. I was close to the aisle. When he walked in, it was like a I think beings were following him. It was like a kind of spiritual breeze. Just, you know, I felt it from my back. I had to hold myself because I could have fallen. Just, and I thought, I didn't know he was already coming. It was when he passed, I said, wow, this man carries something. But you know, it's not everybody that will recognize that. And kind of for information, those who are very close to him will take him. They will think he's just daddy, you know, he's just normal. But for you to tap into what he's carrying, you need to see him. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. You need to see him. Now, the Lord wanted me to partake of something, and that's why he allowed me to. I know I wasn't the only person he passed. And some never even knew if anything passed them. So I needed to see that. You know, Elijah told Elisha, if you see me. So that seeing is very, very important. It's not an ordinary seeing. Now I'm saying, if it is like that, just for a man who has worked with God and has come into some level of grace, could demonstrate, how much more will it be when men come into their abode in God? When men come into their abode in God, you know what it's going to be like? Oh my God. I'm just imagining if this whole company of people come into abode in God, men, we are too much. Lagos will not be the same. Lagos cannot hold together. Things will happen because you are seeing people carrying house, carrying abode. Now, finally, there cannot be house without a law. When you hear Moses was faithful in all my house, it was because a law, an administration of a law was given to Moses. Something was given to him. So you can't, what you actually house, how you house, or how the son housed the father, is he had the laws of God. The father in me. The father in me. The father in me. So the father was a law of life by which the son lived. That's how he showed the father. He was living a life by reason of a law. The law of God. The law of God was in him. So as he was living out God. He was showing God. He was magnifying God. The Father in me. Let's read it. Amen. Hallelujah. That was the main place when the Lord began to inspire me concerning the theme of the meeting, where it came from. No. Matthew 10:19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. Verse 20. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of the Father. The Spirit of the Father. The Spirit of the Father, which speaketh in you. So if the Spirit of the Father speaketh in you, means the Spirit of the Father is in you as a work. The Spirit of the Father will have to be in you as a work. Now, you know, talking about this, we talked about the Spirit of Christ. There's a Spirit of the Father. It's the Holy Ghost that makes manifest these things. Some Holy Ghost can show us the Spirit of Christ. Meaning he can manifest the law of Christ. He can write in us the law of Christ. Now he can also write the law of God inside of us. That is how he dwells in us. That is how he's going to dwell in us. So I love this place. He said, when you stand, you don't need to disturb yourself. Something is already in you. A walk. You know, Jesus said, the Father that dwelleth in me. Said, the words that I speak, the Father that dwelleth in me. So, when you see Jesus, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Each time they try to pin him down, it's not a smart thing trying to do that with Jesus. Who do we pay tax to? They come up, you know, those we are doctors of the Lord, they come up with some very tricky question and they want to catch him unguarded. They just want to throw the question. Master, which one is the greatest law? Which one is the greatest commandment? You are asking the one who has the Spirit of the Father. Master, do we pay tribute to Caesar? What a question. You want to put him in trouble with the Roman government? Want to put him into trouble with the Roman Empire? And then lo and behold, some of his followers are zealots. They've not yet been converted to Christ. They are zealots. And if he says, pay tax to Caesar, they will say, oh no, this is not our Messiah. And if he said, don't pay tax to Caesar, there's some Roman soldiers out there. You know, Satan is wicked. If you say yes, you are in trouble. If you say no, you are in trouble. But you are talking to somebody who has the law of God. He didn't need to meditate. What to say? The Father that is in me. The words that I speak, it is the Father that is in me. He's the one that doeth the work. He said, bring the coin. Are you seeing manifestation of law? Law, judgment, very high judgment. Judgment that they cannot gainsay. Bring the coin. Whose superscription is in it? They say, Caesar. You said it. You said it. So give it to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. Israel belongs to God. But Israel does not want to be given to God. Souls belong to God. Hearts belong to God. Man belongs to God. Not coin. You know, I was telling us something that happened recently. Where we are doing the church site, where we are constructing, and we have this on money, always disturbing. They want money. Illegally they come to every time. And then they are getting on my nerves. And the Lord just said, relax. Give them. It is their own. I said, their own? I know how this money is coming. It's coming from brethren are contributing money, and they want this thing to be finished. He said, money is their own. So when you see, when you are actually bringing substances, bringing things together, it's just coin. But the real value is more than coin. So I can give them coin, but I've not given them anything. I can give them the notes, but I'm not giving them anything. But when you are bringing it, you're not just bringing paper. Grace that has been ministered to you. You are a steward of the manifold grace of God. When you're bringing the money, what you're actually bringing is grace that has been ministered to you. So when they say, no, you need to give them, I take paper and give to them. But the grace still remains. He has given, he has dispatched abroad, but his righteousness remaineth. His righteousness still remains. So that just dissolved. Okay, maybe when they come, just give them all your take. Stop making noise. They'll say, we've gotten something. But they've got nothing. They didn't take grace. That thing didn't go with grace. So you see, Jesus having judgment, he didn't need to meditate. I perceive it was the Spirit of the Father that told me, give them. It is their own. When I heard it, it baffled me. How can you say it's their own? It's not their own. That's my own judgment. But his judgment is that it's their own. And so many times they try to catch Jesus. But you'll just see something will speak. And what will speak is actually a walk. Is a law. Is a judgment. Is actually the Father that dwelleth in me. He's the one that is speaking. How is he dwelling? He's dwelling in him by laws that he has trapped, he has received. I believe that one of the things God is going to do for us, he has already started doing to us, is that laws are going to be spoken into us. Substances are going to come into us so much that you will know. When you say some things, you know it is not me that said it. I didn't say this. I know I couldn't have thought like this. Somebody said, my normal self will not behave like this in this kind of circumstance. It's not your normal self. It's the spirit of the Father that is in you. We'll now begin to show. We'll begin to, because that's how God will be magnified. That is how the Son magnified the Father. The essence of the Son is to reveal the Father. And that is exactly what he's doing with us. He wants God. God is going to fill the whole earth. I said, God is going to fill the whole earth. There is no place that God will not cover, because God is going to be magnified. His laws are coming. His substances are dropping. And I tell you, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Even as the water covereth sea. Can we just give thanks to the Lord? Just give him glory. Shalabatali Havata. Oh, Makali Hetekelo Rabaski. Teli Barano Kotola Brani Antolo de Greste. Thank you, Jesus. So Komana Hoste.
By the new and living way.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call 0909-054-2599. You can also contact us via WhatsApp on 0803-688-4759. God bless you.
Oh, by the new and living way, consecrated for the virgins. By the new and living way.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call 0909-054-2599. You can also contact us via WhatsApp on 0803-688-4759. God bless you.
Oh, by the new and living way, consecrated for the